Every Sunday this month, we have been talking about how blessed we are. How blessed that we are. And to know the Lord. And I think that as Christians in America, I think that it might take a trip out of the country to come back and to really grasp it, to really realize, you know, how blessed that we are here in this country. But I think most of us, we have some sense of appreciation for the blessing of living in this nation, America, and the privilege to be a Christian and to be able to worship the Lord according to the Word of God. Amen. Genesis chapter 12, and we read these verses at the beginning of this month when we started going through these messages on the blessed life. What it is to live a life that's blessed of the Lord. And today, just to kind of sum this all together with the importance of recognizing that we are blessed for a reason. God has blessed our lives for a purpose, that we would be a blessing. That's what the text says from Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So we can see that from this Abrahamic covenant that was directed to him and to all of his descendants and to you and I, who as Christians have been adopted into the family of Abraham. Praise God. Amen. We're a part of that covenant. We still get to take part in this wonderful blessing. I understand that one of the promise directed to Abraham was related to Israel and the forming of this great nation of Israel, and that this was a promise to him, and then that he would form the nation, and he said, I'm going to bless you and make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Amen. I'm going to bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. That's a very serious part of this covenant that we need to pay attention to. And we certainly need to pray for decisions being made in our country related to an attitude toward Israel. And as Christians, we certainly need to be supportive and prayerful. We need to support Israel, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. Even take it a step further and write, email, call your congressman, your senator, and even the executive branch of our government, the White House. That's right, you can call the White House and let them know that it's important to support Israel. Amen. Don't make this a political matter. Just we need to be careful to support Israel, because those who bless that nation will be blessed, and those that curse that nation will be cursed. That covenant still exists today. Amen. But the promise here was that God said, I'm going to bless your nation, and I'm going to cause you to be a blessing. God, if when He blesses your life, He blesses you for a purpose. When He puts His hand upon your life, and we notice that in the life of Abraham, and I'm just going to review a couple of things here we talked about earlier. But in the life of Abraham, there were two things that were necessary for him to enter into this blessing. First of all, obedience. He had to do what he was commanded to do. He had to be willing to step out and to go to a land that God said, just leave your kindred, your family, and go to a land, and you don't know where you're going, but I'm going to show you where you're going. And so as a Not only was it obedience, but it was a tremendous step of faith to leave your homeland, to leave your family, to leave your kindred, and go to a place that he had never been before, didn't know anything about, but God just said, just go, and I'll show you where to go, and in that place, I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to work in your life. I'm going to shape you, form you, and make you, and your descendants are going to become a great nation. That was a wonderful promise. That's the reason why that Abraham is called the father of faith, a father of the faithful, because he was such a great example. But God called him out. He called him out to him so that he could bless him. And I want you to be reminded of this as Christians, that you have been called out. You have been called out. You are the called out ones. Christians called out from the world, called out from the identity of your past. And now your identity is in Jesus Christ. Amen. You identify in Him and in His Word and in His promises. So he was called out, and he could have never been blessed if it hadn't been for that calling out. And I think we miss a lot whenever we ignore the fact that as Christians, we have been called out. We are not to be in this world or love this world or to be of this world, but we are to be called out, sanctified, set apart so that we can be useful to God. And we're not useful until we are willing to obey the voice of the Lord. So Abraham was called out so that he could be blessed. And you, as a Christian, you have been saved not just so that you can enjoy the blessings and the benefits of being saved, but you have been saved also because God wanted to call you out because he has a purpose for your life. He wants you to become a channel that his blessings can flow through you. And you can bless those that are around you. As we go through this message today, I want you just to consider just practically what you can do as a Christian, that every day of your life, what if all of us determined every day as we started our day and we asked the Lord, Lord, give me an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Give me an opportunity to bless the life of someone that you come in contact with. And as the Lord opens the door, gives you the opportunity to encourage them. It might just be a phone call, or it might just be a little card sent in the mail. It might be a brief message, even a text message, or just some kind deed that was done to bless the life of someone else. And as you get into the pattern of this, you'll experience the joy of being a vessel, a channel, that God has blessed you and he wants to pour his blessings on you and through you so that you can influence the lives of other people. We have been called, yes, to be blessed, but we've also been called to be a blessing to those that we come in contact with. Amen. And so I want to encourage you practically to make that something that you consider and pray about. Lord, make me a blessing today. We used to sing that old song, Lord, make me a blessing, to someone today. Amen. I don't know all the words to it, but it's a good song. Make me a blessing. Lord, help me to find someone. And as you direct my steps, give me the words to say, show me what to do that I can bless them and touch their life in some way to be a blessing to them. Now, the greatest blessing that any man anywhere in the world could ever experience, the greatest blessing is to come into contact with the message of the gospel and to get truly saved, truly born again. No greater blessing than that. It surpasses anything. Anything that you would ever achieve or accomplish, it's better than anything that the world could ever offer to you. It is the greatest blessing in this world and in your life is to know Jesus Christ. And we take that for granted. We take it for granted. Do you understand with me that if you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a bed to sleep in, you are richer than 75% of the people in the world. Amen. If you have any money in the bank, if you have some money in your wallet, and even if you just have some money
some change that you set aside in a jar somewhere, you are richer than 90% of the people in the world. We don't even think about how blessed that we are. We're so prone to complain if things don't go well for us. Some of you, if you've had your power off, you might have complained and thought, I wish those workers would get out there on those power lines and take care of this problem.
Well, I wouldn't want to be in their place for certain, but I do know this, that in the United States of America, that a power outage is something that happens pretty rarely. If you live in a third world country, most of the people in the third world countries of this world, which represents billions of people in our world today, they spend more than half of their time without power, sometimes going days and even weeks without any power. And we don't even think about the fact that we're so blessed here in the United States of America. We have so many wonderful blessings. Do you understand that 500 million people live or have lived in a war zone in this world today? 500 million people are living now or have lived in a place where they're concerned that they could be killed because of the conflicts that are right in their own world that they live in. 500 million people. We don't know about that. Do you understand that 3 billion people, I'm just trying to stir your thinking a little bit here this morning as to how greatly blessed that you are and I am. Amen. 3 billion people in this world endanger their lives by just going to a worship service like you're in today. They endanger their lives. Majority of those are in Muslim countries and in China, where they are under persecution for owning a Bible. They're under persecution for going to a prayer meeting or to even give a witness of Jesus Christ. They are under threat of their life in some places in this world. But here in this country, we can read the Bible. We have the Word of God that's so available to us. Amen. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That's you and me. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. Many of you like me, I was raised up in the house of God from the time I was just a small child. I don't know a life of not knowing about the things of God. I've never experienced living in a world where I don't know about the Bible and I don't know about the gospel and I haven't learned about salvation. I know that there are billions of people in this world that don't have the access or the information hasn't come to them that Jesus loves them and that Jesus died on the cross for them. But I've known that all of my life. And most of you have known that. And we are blessed. Oh, how blessed that we are because of the availability of the gospel and the blessing of our lives. And we should be just worshipers, continually giving thanks and praise to God because of His goodness that He's shown to us, because we are not better than anybody else in this world. Yeah. You talk about American exceptionalism. And I'm patriotic, and I believe in this nation and in the blessing of this nation. But I go back to the understanding that we're only blessed in this country because we've had a great foundation in the Word of God. We're only blessed in America because we had forefathers who had a Bible worldview. They may not have all believed doctrinally like we all believe, but our founders had a worldview that was based upon the Word of God. And so they built this nation on that kind of a foundation. And so we've been blessed of God. I don't know how much longer that we will experience these blessings as we move further and further away from God and the things of the Lord, but we are blessed. Amen. Amen. We are so blessed of the Lord. You know that to have the blessing of the Lord upon your life
is to recognize that you that God is for you, that God is moving in your behalf. God is on your side, that God, in Deuteronomy it talks about it this way, that it would go well with thee. God, when you obey the commandments of the Lord, when you do like Abraham was commanded to do, that the promise of God was, if you'll do my will, if you'll follow in my commandments, it will go well for you. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? That God is just saying, yeah, I'm going to be there. That doesn't mean that you'll never have trouble or trials or setbacks in your life. It just means that no matter what you experience, you know God's hand is with you, and then God is helping you, and He'll provide for you, and He'll take care of you in the situation that you're in, and that's the blessing of the Lord. You may have laid in a hospital bed sick and really desperately in need of help from the Lord, but I tell you what, it's a comforting thing to know that God is with you. It's a comforting thing to know. Sure, you put some of your confidence in doctors and medical personnel, but the most important thing to me is that no matter what we go through, that we can sense the help of the Lord, that God is there working on our behalf. That's the blessing of God. I'm not talking just about your bank account being filled and you know you have an abundance as far as this world's good is concerned. The blessing of the Lord is just God, His goodness, His blessing upon your life, and experiencing the hand of God upon your life. Amen. Glory to God. What a wonderful thing that it is to live that kind of a life. But the principle here from this Abrahamic covenant was that if you're blessed, you have a certain responsibility. Since you are blessed, then you hold in your hands blessing and privilege that if you cannot keep it to yourself. Since you are blessed, then that blessing should flow out of you. It should flow out from you. Amen. A verse of scripture in Ephesians 4 and 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. I'm not suggesting that we just sit back and say, God, take care of all our needs. The principle is that God has given to us the ability, the strength. He gives us the power to do whatever labor or vocation or calling that you have, and you fulfill that and you do that job and you fulfill that responsibility. And as you labor, as God has given you opportunity, He does that thing which is good that He may have to give to him that needeth. God gives to you, blesses you, so that you can be a channel to touch the lives of other people. So our blessings have to flow outward. Amen. The blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know the gospel, so we hold this truth. We possess this truth of the message of the gospel. And so the world that does not know God or know the things of God, we are indebted to them. We have a responsibility to them. Amen. We're not saved just so that we could feel good, although it does feel good to be saved. Amen. We're not saved just to be comfortable or to be happy. There is a certain joy that comes, certainly, from being saved. But the reality is we are saved because God wants to use you as a vessel so that you can bless others. You can share the blessing of the Lord. You can touch the lives of people with this wonderful blessing. Luke chapter 18 and verse 29. And he said unto them, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents. Now, I want you to pay attention to this because this is an amazing promise. There is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom's sake who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen. Now that's a wonderful promise. That if you're willing, these folks that step out and travel around the world and live in dangerous places doing missions work, or you, that wherever you are, even on your daily responsibilities as you are a representative of Jesus Christ, wherever you are, if you're willing to step out And the verse, the promise here is if you leave your house and you leave your family and you leave all this behind and you step out to do for God, God, that does not go unnoticed. God is aware of what you're doing. He's aware of your sacrifices and your efforts. He shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. It doesn't go unnoticed because not only in this life will you experience the blessing and the hand of God, but also in eternity, it carries over into the life that is to come, that God is faithful and He's going to bless you for being willing to be used as a vessel of the Lord. That's why here at our church we take it serious about missions. Missions is a serious matter. It is a biblical matter. One quote that I like very much, which I think speaks to our responsibility. Only as the church fulfills her missionary obligation does she justify her existence. Amen. Only as the church fulfills her missionary obligation does she justify her existence. I've heard people say this before, especially I've had it directed at me because we give a big emphasis to missions and missions giving, and a big part of our budget, something like $40,000-$50,000, I'm not sure what the number, probably close to $50,000, maybe more than that, I'm not sure, but in that neighborhood is given on an annual basis to missionaries and the work of the Lord around the world. And you say, if you just save that money in a year and a half, you'd have enough to resurface the parking lot. But no, we have a missionary obligation. We have an obligation. We're indebted to those that are around the world, and they are our first priority. Amen. That we support them, we pray for them, we give to them. And that is a responsibility. You say, but there's all kinds of heathen in the United States. We've heard that one. There's a big difference. Pay attention. There's a big difference in the fact that we have heathen and unsaved people in this country. And the big difference is one word: access. That's the word, access. In the United States of America, in London, Kentucky, you can turn on the radio and go to probably three or four Christian radio stations. Of course, WYGE is one, and there's three or four others that you can tune into here to and hear gospel messages and gospel preaching any time of the day or night. It's available to you. In a place like Sierra Leone, West Africa, where there's no Christian radio and only Muslim broadcasting that's going on in the city of Freetown, as soon as the Lord opens the door, there'll be a Christian radio station built there. And there's a big investment. There's thousands of dollars that's invested in making this become a reality. But close to 3 million people in the city of Freetown will have access. They don't have now. That's the big word, access. And the reality is that in most places in our country, you can go just across town to a Christian bookstore. You can buy a Bible at Walmart. You can buy a Bible at Kroger. They're available. You can access the Word of God. You can't do that in many of these places around the world. That's why we have an obligation to them. We have a responsibility to them. In this world, in our world, there's still the availability of the gospel. If someone has any interest, there are more churches and more gospel preachers in the United States of America than anywhere in the world. There's no nation that could get close to the number of preachers of the gospel and churches that there are in this country. It's available. Amen. It's available. Amen. So we have a responsibility for it to flow from us. Flow out from us. Amen. To pour out the message of the gospel, to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Since we are so blessed, then we are responsible to be a vessel that is flowing out of us. Amen. The blessing of the Lord should flow outward from us. Amen. Another wonderful promise is that whenever we are willing to be used of the Lord to be the blessing, and that's what we're talking about today. If you're willing to be used of God to be the blessing, as you are a blessing, it will always come back to you. It always comes back to you. Amen. In many forms. Not always. If you give $50, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to, somebody else is going to give you back $50. Although I've had those kind of experiences. Amen. And many of you have as well. But that doesn't mean that God is going to repay you exactly the same way all the time. But you can be sure that God is going to be faithful and He's going to take care of you. He's going to repay you. It always comes back. The more that you are willing to bless and to be a blessing, to touch the lives of people, to pour out, God will make sure that there is always enough. One good example that I'm personally acquainted with this about, of course, is Brother Huff, who gave and gave and gave and gave and gave. Some of you are privy to the information, but a lot of you wouldn't be to information that I know about because I worked so closely with him with Good News Outreach. But I want to tell you, giving was his heart. He gave and he gave and he gave. Brother Huff died on a Thursday, early in the morning, like 3 o'clock in the morning. On the Friday before that, I had stopped by the house to see him, and he waved me in and said, come in here, I want to talk to you. And he was very weak, as you know. He's on oxygen and very weak. And he said, come in here, I want to talk to you about something. So I sat down there beside his bed, and he said, what about Brother Hampton? And here's Brother Huff in the shape he's in, so sick. And he's asking me about Brother Gary Hampton, who's sick with cancer. He says, what about Brother Hampton? I said, well, he's very sick and not able to minister, not able to preach, carry on his ministry right now. He hasn't been for a good while able to. So that's his source of income. I told him that Sister Hampton works a job and has somewhat of an income from that, but his income in ministry doesn't have any income. And Brother Huff said, what do you think about us sending him some money? And so I said, well, certainly. He said, would you write the letter? I said, absolutely. I'll write the letter. So I wrote Brother Hampton the letter. Brother Huff wrote the check. It might have been his last check. I don't know. The check was written. It was a sizable gift. I wrote the letter. I wasn't able to get it in the mail until Monday. I mailed it Monday. Brother Huff died on Thursday, and in the mail came the check to Gary Hampton that day. So in his last dying breath, he was pouring out. He was giving. He was giving. He was blessing. He was helping people. So as a result of that, God made sure that he had the resources to do it. God always made sure that he did because he knew he was going to be a vessel. I'm telling you that just to say that wasn't the only time, but that was the experience that I observed for years and years and years. And I wanted to catch that same burden, that same vision, to be a vessel that could be used of the Lord to touch the lives of people. And what would happen if we would all recognize that we can be a channel, we can be a vessel. And it might not necessarily be monetary gifts, but just ask the Lord, Lord, would you make me a blessing today? Would you give me the means to bless someone? It doesn't cost anything to send a text or to make a phone call. It doesn't cost anything, just your time. To do some things, even to stop by for a visit or to care about somebody that's in their need. It doesn't cost us that much, but oh, it's an investment. You've been blessed, so bless others. Pour out. Amen. How does God return? How does God measure whenever He's blessing and rewarding us for our giving? Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. That's the principle. Give, and it shall be given unto you. But this is how it's done. The scripture says, here's how it's going to come back to you. In good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. As you give, then God has promised, you give and I'm going to give to you. You pour out, and I'm going to make sure that you are resourced to be this blesser. To touch the lives of people. And how does God do it? Well, he was given the example that, you know, of the grain and how that the grain would be all fluffed up, and that what they would do is to be able to get as much as they could in the container, that it would be pressed down, it would be shaken real good, and then filled up again until it was running over, shaken down, pressed down, shaken, to get as much in it as possible. That's how God says, if you'll give, I'll give to you. And the way that I'll give to you is I'll give you the fullest of measures. Amen. I'll bless you and I'll give you the fullest of measures. Amen. He said, I'll even use men to do it. Shall men give into your bosom? I'll use men to do it who are willing to be used of the Lord. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. You give from your heart. You give generously. You pour out. And again, I'm not just talking about monetary gifts. And there's many, many ways that we are able to give, including that. But however God has blessed you, and especially in proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what a great treasure, what a great blessing that we have that needs to be proclaimed everywhere that we go. Hallelujah. Another principle is from Luke chapter 12 and verse 48. The more we're blessed by God, the more that He expects us to bless others. Amen. I went through and compared what we have to what they have in third world countries and billions of people around the world. So the fact of the matter is, if you live in the United States of America and you're in the 10% bottom of the economic position, if you're at the bottom of the rung, 10%, you're richer than most of those who live in the third world. So nobody can say, I just don't have it. I can't do it. I don't have anything to offer. I can't be a blessing. I've heard people say before, I would do that if I just somehow had it to do it. You've got it. You've got it. You've got it. You say, I don't have any money, but you do have treasure, and you do have ability, and you do have a voice, and you have the opportunities to spread the gospel and to bless the lives of those around you. We have been called of God. We have been blessed because God wants us to bless others. And the more that we have, the greater the responsibility. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. But he knew not. He knew, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For under whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to him men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. There is this principle that the greater degree that you have been blessed, you are responsible to bless at that same measure. Praise God. Amen. I don't know how you feel, but I feel like I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I can't even enumerate it all, but God just blesses and helps me and provides for me and strengthens me and watches over me. And I know it's God, His love and His favor toward me. And I need to be shouting it to the rooftop. Amen. How blessed that we are. It should never be that we would come into a worship service and we all just kind of sit around quiet and unmoved and never really opening up our voices or worshiping the Lord. Every one of us in this place, every one of us in the United States of America, oh, how blessed we are. And we need to be proclaiming that and sharing that to the world that is around us. Much has been given to us. Much is required of us. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now here's another wonderful principle about this, and it's found in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 35. And let's read just these few verses here, six verses. This is Jesus speaking. He said, "For I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him. The disciples always were misunderstanding Jesus. They always were confused and misunderstood what he was saying. He was
always was talking about spiritual kingdom principles, and they were always getting so confused about it. So that's why that they respond and say, Lord, when were you hungry and we fed you? When were you thirsty and we brought you to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came to thee? The king answered and said, and answered and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. What is the principle? The principle is this, that when we bless others, we are doing it as unto the Lord. Amen. Whenever you are blessing others and touching the lives of other people, God sees it as coming before Him as a gift. God sees it as a gift coming to Him as unto the Lord. When you visit that one that's sick, when you give to that one that is in need, when you minister to that one that is suffering, when you reach out to them, it's as if you are serving the Lord Himself, bringing Him drink, bringing Him food. What an amazing principle. When you are used of God to bless others, we're doing it as unto the Lord. Amen. That's when you did it unto me. When you went to prison, when you went to the hungry, when you went to the thirsty, when you took care of those, it was, you did it as unto me. Amen. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful blessing it is. Amen. To be able to be a vessel, to allow God's love and mercy to flow out of our lives. You know that sometimes when we come around people, instead of adding to them, we take away from them. Some people have the amazing capacity to suck the whole life out of a room when they come into the room. Discouraged, depressed, down and out. I mean, just hopeless. And they walk into the room, and before long, it has infected everybody in the room. We're all feeling like, oh, let's all just give up. You know anybody like that? I tell you what, don't be like that. Don't be that person. Be the person that whenever you come into the room, you're immediately adding to that, to their needs, or to their, and blessing them. Amen. Even your words are words that edify them and encourage them. Amen. What you do and your very presence, it demonstrates the fact that you believe God, and you've got faith in God in the midst of trouble, and no matter what their circumstance is, that they can offer help to you and hope. That's what we are. As Christians, we are to be able to enter into any kind of a situation. I worked for a pastor in St. Louis for a couple of years. And one day we went together. I was so young and green, and went with him to the hospital. And it was one of those circumstances where there's all these people in the room, and none of them were Christians. The room was filled with people. Let me tell you, when you get in that kind of a circumstance, sometimes it is the most awkward thing to say, could I have a word of prayer? It's the most awkward thing. You just feel like, how can I ever do this? But that pastor told me that day, he said, listen, you don't have anything to offer. Not anything to offer. If you don't pray, if you don't call their attention to God, then your visit has pretty much been a waste. And I've never forgot that. And a lot of times I've walked into situations where I thought, oh my, there's not a Christian person here and a bunch of people that are not interested in God even being in this place. But I've always mustered up the courage to say, before I leave, would it be all right if I would take the time to have a word of prayer? It might be awkward, it might be difficult, but I've went ahead and done it because I know that individual, I don't have anything to offer except Jesus. I don't have a thing to offer to them. You know, I can try to give them hope and encouragement through kind words, but what they really need is to know that God is concerned about them and He cares about them. Amen. That's what you have to offer. Be a blesser. Amen. Touch the lives of people. Encourage them. And when they see you coming, that they would be encouraged. Oh, great. Here comes Sister So-and-so. This is going to be a help to me. Instead of them saying, oh no, here comes that one. Here comes that one, and I'm going to feel all discouraged by the time they leave. Be the kind of person that God is using to be a blessing. Amen. I just pray from the beginning of this series and the beginning of this month, we talked about obedience. We talked about the importance of obeying the voice of the Lord. We talked about putting God first. Last week, we talked about the tithe and the importance of bringing the tithe into the storehouse. All these things have to do with our heart and how that we give out of our abundance. And then closing out this today, and I just want to challenge you, every day of your life, would you just say, Lord, today, help me to bless somebody. Would you use me to bless someone today? Amen. When you get that frame of mind, that attitude, God will give you opportunities and you will be able to touch the lives of people. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for all the many blessings, too many to number, in our lives. We just thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to be a vessel that's used by you. I just pray that you would stir up in the hearts of your people, Lord, that they could just understand that the church, Lord, we're here for a purpose, and that purpose is to be a channel for your blessings to pour in and then back out, to flow out to a world that is in great need. That's why we're here. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. And I pray, Lord, that you'd make us all more grateful, more appreciative for the blessings of our life. And Lord, that we would be used of you to be a blesser every day. Praise God.